your church to be in your house. And Lord Jesus, you are building this thing called the church, and we have the privilege to encourage one another, to speak words over one another. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you that without your power, they're just words. And so I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, you would anoint words today, your word, to go into hearts, to encourage, to bring grace, to bring freedom. Because when it's anointed, it changes. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Where's Mark? I was like, that's my scripture for the day. I just love it. You know, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, anybody kind of waver every once in a while. And you're like, well, I don't know. And then you hear this confirming thing. You're like, high five, we're all on the page. So praise the Lord. Mark, I was just like rolling on the floor there. So today what I want to do is I want to talk about the spirit, a cheerful spirit. Everybody say cheerful spirit. Look at somebody and put the smile on your face and say, cheerful spirit. All right. And really what I want to do with this is I want to talk about how to develop a cheerful spirit. Because in case you haven't noticed, this world is not so cheerful. So I think we might need to learn how to develop a cheerful spirit. And you know, I just kind of crack up sometimes, and I think about the Bible says the foolishness of man, they're thinking, and then we've got the wisdom of God. And you know, sometimes people are walking around mad and angry, depressed and oppressed, and here you have God who says, cheer up, rejoice, cheer up. And you can sometimes think that maybe God is just kind of minimalizing what I'm going through. Like, God, don't you know? But listen, he talks about in his word, the joy of the Lord. Anybody ever hear that in your Bible? The joy of the Lord. And a merry heart, what? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So it just cracks me up sometimes because here's the Lord God who has everything already written down in the Bible on what you might be going through. So today, we're going to talk about a cheerful spirit and how to develop it, all right? And we're going to specifically talk about a cheerful spirit in giving. Oh, praise God, Pastor Jesus. Hallelujah, Pastor D, Jesus. Oh, this is so wonderful. Yeah. That's what I used to think when they talk about giving, all right? But open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Mark's already got it because he read that. Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you know, I know a bunch of you that have walked with the Lord. How many of you have walked with the Lord for more than 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? Someone's cruising 100 years over here, all right? Like, walked with the Lord. And what I'm going to share about having a cheerful spirit, you might even know. But how about you raise the bar and go a little higher? So you have to stay tuned in. Some of you, maybe you're new to church. Man, I remember being just a newbie, like a new baby Christian coming to church. I didn't even know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were actual books in the Bible. I thought those were names that all good Catholics give their kids, right? So maybe you're new, and I'm telling you what, I really believe that God is just going to open your eyes. We like to say revelation, but that's what it is, revelation. So stay with me. All right, we're going to read 2 Corinthians 9. I'm reading out of the New Living, starting in verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Duh, right? Every farmer knows that. How many of you have gardens? You know that, right? All right, so the next part says, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop, all right? Again, common sense. So this is Paul writing, and he's just making it real simple, talking about farms, okay? And we understand. How many understand the principle of the seed? Put it in the ground and natural things will grow, okay? Now, jump over to verse 7. You must each decide. Okay, individually, you have to decide the next part. Now, I love to tell people what to do, okay? But this scripture says you must individually decide, all right? So you must individually decide in your own heart how much to give. Don't do it reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves person who gives cheerfully. And we're going to go back to that in a few moments. Let's read verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Okay, background. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to the Corinthian church. And as Mark said, the church itself was going through a tough time. And then there were other believers that were really having a tough time. They had some big needs. And what Paul is doing is he's actually teaching a principle of life. He's teaching a principle about harvest. And I'm like, I get it. And I don't even garden. Well, I do not garden, really. I don't. But we kind of get it because we understand the seed principle in the natural. But Paul is really going to talk about the spiritual principle of the seed, which is way more dynamic, all right? So, everybody go, why? Anybody have two-year-olds and they just go, why? Why do I have to do this? Why? Well, you're allowed to do that. So, when I read that scripture, I'm like, why did Paul write this? And I'm glad you ask, because verse 7 is the key. And it says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And you know, when I read that, I thought, well, that's kind of funny. I mean, how many of you know, you read the scripture, God loves everybody. We have a cute little jingle down in preschool. God loves the world and everything in it. But we know God loves everything, right? God loves everybody. God loves everybody. So why did he make a distinction here? Why did he point out this group? Why does he have this particular group that he points out? Why? Well, we know that God loves everybody, but he has a special reward. God has a special reward for people who give cheerfully. And that's what we're going to look at today. And now, he has a reward for those who give cheerfully. And it's not just talking about giving, because that scripture goes on and talks about people who give grumpily. That's my kid word. Grudgingly, grumpily. All right? How many of you have told your kid, turn off the electronics, please go clean your room? And they go, yes. And then they go stomping up the stairs, and they're throwing clothes in the closet under the bed. It's kind of grumpily, you know? All right? So there's something about, you could even say a little bitter spirit going, but God loves a person who gives cheerfully, all right? So what does it mean God loves a person who gives cheerfully? Why did he highlight them? So we're going to go look at this word cheerful. Everybody write it down. I'm going to give you a definition. Cheerful, when Paul writes this, he says cheerful, but it really means, and I am going to spell the Greek because my Greek is so good, H-I-L-A-R-O-S. Hilaros. How about that for Greek? Hilaros. And that word in the Greek is where we get our word hilarious. Hilarious. Be hilaros. Be hilarious. Okay? So he's saying God loves people that are hilarious. Now, it does not, I'm going to say this, does not mean you lay on the ground and you roll and laugh. That is not what it's talking. Because Scott and the ushers back there will come and tap you on the shoulder and say, get it together. Because that's not what that word means, okay? It doesn't mean that. But it's so interesting. It means to be glad, to be merry, to be joyful. Why? Because of all that God has done in your life. Raise your hand if God's done some things in your life. Right, he has done. And listen, and I get to the place where I'm going, how could I not be glad, merry, joyful? How could I not be because of all that God's done in my life? How could I not return back to him some of my resources, some of my material wealth, some of my time? How could I not for all that God has done in my life? So that's the context of that word, hilarious, cheerful, all right? Now, some churches, everybody go, not this church. Not this church, when we talk about giving and money and things like that, some people, not this bunch of people, shut down. Y'all with me, right? Nobody shut down, right? Some people shut down. And because, well, it's more like they get weirded out. People get weirded out when you talk about giving, okay? People do not get hilarious. They do not get hilarious. I'll tell you what it means. But listen, we should be hilarious, right? We should be hilarious. We should be merry. We should be cheerful because we know what's on the other side of this giving thing. Because we know God loves people who are cheerful in their giving, right? So question, why? So I have to think there must be a reason. There must be a reason that there's a special blessing. And actually, I'm going to say this. There's actually a reward for those that he has called out, this special group, the ones that give cheerfully, he has called out with special blessings. So we're going to look at that. And so again, why would God highlight this group? Why would God pick them out? And so what we should ask is why. And the second thing is, if God blesses the cheerful giver, then how do I develop that? How do I develop that? So those are the things we're going to talk about. And the answer to that is in verse 8. Verse 8 we just read. And I'm going to read this time out of the Amplified. How many people have the Amplified Bible? Somebody once said, it's a girly Bible because it's got lots of words. I'm like, it was a guy that said that, right? It was. But listen, sometimes you look at a word and you're like, eh. But you get the Amplified and it's got five words that just make it really alive for you. So I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, I love this, self-sufficient. And that means possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. All right. So how does God love a cheerful giver? Well, right there we just read there's a lot of ways. There's actually five different ways, okay, that God loves, that God blesses, that God rewards a cheerful giver. One of them is right in the beginning. It's grace. So if you're taking notes, write down grace. And it says, and God is able to make all grace and really abound unto you, grace. Now, how many of you know there's nothing that I can do, there's nothing that I can know, there's nothing that I am unless the grace of God in my life, right? I wouldn't know anything, I wouldn't be able to do anything. Some days I'm really going, God, but it's by his grace, all right? If you want to write this down, here, listen to this, a definition. Grace, God's grace, is a tangible spiritual substance. All right. This is tangible substance. It isn't spiritual, though, okay? But now picture grace, a tangible spiritual substance, and it's imparted from God to you and me. Go to bed and think on that one. It is a good one. You got to see this, okay? So, our first taste of grace, our first taste of God imparting this tangible spiritual substance was the grace that that we needed to be saved. In other words, you weren't thinking about God. You weren't thinking about eternal salvation. You weren't thinking about living a life towards the Lord. You weren't, okay? And I'm guessing none of us were on that radar a long time ago. But I will tell you, in my life, talk about me. In my life, for the first 21 years of my life, I was not thinking about any of that. I was not thinking about grace. I was not thinking about God. Now, I went to church every Sunday. And as you know, I was raised in the Catholic faith, and I am eternally glad because I heard about God. I didn't have all the pieces, but I heard about God. And listen, The Lord, but the big but is, the Lord Jesus was not my Lord. I was living my life my way, so guess who was the Lord? I was the Lord of my life. I lived my life the way I wanted to do, and basically, I was religious because I was just going through the motions, and I was the Lord of my life. But when God's grace comes in, everybody say grace comes in. When grace comes in, he opens up the eyes of your understanding. He opens up your heart. He opens up your mind. And all of a sudden, you start seeing things a little bit differently. You start seeing this eternal salvation. You start seeing, thinking about the different things. You start thinking about, having a hunger and a desire to know God. And that's what grace does for salvation, all right? Now, here's some other good news. Listen to this. God is always pouring out grace. He is always pouring out grace, all right? And it's not just a one-time deal. Like you got a shot of grace for salvation and then God was done with it. That was it. You're done. You don't need any more. Listen, God is always continually pouring out grace, all right? And Romans 5:17 says, if you would receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will rule and reign in life. That's fantastic, all right? Now, so question again, what are the blessings, all right? How does God love a cheerful giver? Well, here's your answer. Number one, he gives you all grace, and he gives it continually, all right? So if you were to wake up today, and listen, done this a lot. Lord, I know you're asking me to do this, but there is no way. And the Lord says, my grace, I'm going to give you all grace to do that thing that I've asked you to do that you can't do. All right? So who needs some more grace in your life? You just go like this. Lord, I need more grace in my life. I got this thing going, or I just don't know this thing. And you simply go, God, I thank you for grace from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Grace, 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 grace. And that's the blessings for a cheerful giver, more and more grace. All right, so here's the second thing. The second thing that it said in this verse, okay, so God is able to make all grace, listen to this part, every favor and earthly blessings. I thought God was only interested in spiritual blessings, but here it says earthly blessings. I got a whole list of earthly blessings. If you don't have a list, I will give you my list and you can believe God too. I always have a list of earthly blessings, but I like that first part, favor. He gives ever favor, okay? Anybody need favor on your job? Anybody need favor, someone to give you favor? Anybody need a greased life that's all favored up? I mean, I believe God's favor for when I go shopping, when I go the parking lot, and you should believe him for a favor on your job. All right, so favor, all right? So that's how God loves a cheerful giver. He gives ever favor and earthly blessings. Woo, this is exciting, all right? Now, here's the next part. They don't all fall on one day. Bam, that's it. There's this continual lifetime favor of earthly blessings that come to you, all right? It says comes to you. So I'm going to read this again. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessings come to you in abundance, all right? Just think that this favor and earthly blessings is tracking you down because it says it comes to you. It's tracking you down. And it says the blessings of the Lord overtake you, track you down. That is pretty good. I mean, right there, I'm like, I'm doing good. God is tracking me down to give me favor and earthly blessings, all right? Now, let me tell you from my experience. When I first became a Christian and started to finally get some understanding on this, I was like, whoa, this is incredible. Favor, earthly blessings coming to me in abundance. Because the reason why I was like that, you don't know how I was raised. I was raised in a house, there were 8 of us, 6 kids, 1 income. I have 2 parents, but my dad was the only one that worked because my mom stayed home to raise six kids. God bless her. All right. So my mom stayed home, and I'm telling you, my mom sewed all our dresses. And back then, you wore dresses. She sewed all our dresses, or we went to the clearance rack. That's how you were, all right? So we never paid full price for clothes, all right? Now, just the other day, I went to the Giant grocery store, and I went to the deli cabinet or countertop, and in the cabinet was this large jar in the deli section of Dietz and Watson pickles. I bought Dietz and Watson pickles, like the big crispy ones, all right? And when I picked them up, I said, God, this is amazing. I bought Dietz and Watson pickles. And Lord, because you have been so good to me, I bought them. Now, what you have to understand, when I grew up, and I would go shopping with my mom, everything was, I'm going to call it black and white. Generic in our shopping cart. Generic, all right? And I never saw Dietz and Watson in our shopping cart. I never saw Del Monte or Green Giant. We had generic. And the other day, I'm telling you, I laughed. I'm picking this up, Dietz and Watson pickles. Whoa! God, I just remember where you've brought me. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Right? God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessings come to you in abundance. All right, so that's my pickle story. Here's my other story. I don't think I was married yet. So I was waitressing, and they were having, I'm born again, hallelujah, finally. And I found out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not just people. They were books in the Bible. It's so amazing when you get a Bible. Everybody have a Bible? We have Bibles in the back. We got Bibles downstairs. You should have Bibles. You should have them all over your house. But anyway, so I'm in this church service. I'm newly saved here. And they started talking about giving. And I'm like, oh, gee, I don't want to hear this. I don't have any money. Well, actually, as my grandson starts every sentence, actually, I had $50 because I'm waitressing, and a dive because you should be making more money, right, Leslie? $50. So I had $50, and they were going to have this ladies' conference, and I wanted to go, but I had $50. And my $50 wasn't going to cut it, all right? So I'm in this service, and they're talking about giving, and I decided I just might as well give it all. And God, you can be God, and I am just going to trust you. So I used to put dollar bills in there. And I took that money, $50, probably a lot of ones because I was waitressing, and maybe even some change, and I put it in there. And I prayed, God, because they've been teaching about giving. I said, God, by the way, that was my first step. Oh, bam, putting the whole thing in there. And I started praying, God, I thank you for favor. I thank you for wisdom. God, I thank you. I thank you. Started declaring the word of God. Before the conference was to start, I had a ride with a bunch of ladies in a car, so I didn't have to pay for gas. They knew I didn't have any money. But one lady said, you can share a room with me, and I will pay for the whole thing. And by the time I went to the conference, I had money to give in the offering. Telling you. Now listen, and now that's the abundant life. And God loves a cheerful giver, and this is part of the blessings, how he blesses a specific group that cheerfully gives. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Well, you know, Malachi, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Dietz and Watson pickles. Praise God. 2 Corinthians, let's get serious. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to give you what? All grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. I like that word abundance. It's not just a little dab of do ya, okay? Abundance, that's what God wants to pour out on you. He wants to give you an abundance. And so that, listen, and Mark even said that, he wants you to have an abundance so that you can bless others. He wants you to have an abundance so you can be a blessing to others. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Keep reading. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, all right? Now, maybe your life right now, you are not self-sufficient, but that's okay. God wants you to be blessed, okay? He wants you to be self-sufficient, all right? And self-sufficient means, it says, possessing enough to require no aid. Oh, I could preach on that. Or support, and furnished in abundance. So what he's saying is, this is God. I want to furnish you with abundance, and so that you can be a cheerful giver, so that you will be able to, the back of that scripture says, do every good work and charitable donation. That is why God loves a cheerful giver. Everybody say, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And when that happens, you become a conduit. You become a conduit, and what that's the way, and the way you become a conduit is cheerful, all right? All right, because otherwise, you're holding on to things, right? You get this stingy mentality, this lack mentality. Oh, no, we won't have enough, okay? That's what happens, all right? How many of you remember Y2K? The year is 1999, December 31st, and the whole world was going to go kabunk. All right, so people were hoarding, all right? And that's not a nice word. People were collecting. How many of you collected candles just in case the lights went out and it went kabunk? And now what do you have? That's 20 years ago. Oh, my gosh. A drawer full of candles. That's what you have, all right? Okay, I'm looking straight ahead because I know some of you. All right, now, so what you have to say is, how do I get free from that stingy mentality, that lack mentality? How do you get free? Let go of your candles. Give them away, right? That's how you get free. Give your candles away. Give your stuff. Clean out your junk drawer and give. That's how you get free, all right? And start giving so that you have this cheerful spirit, this cheerful attitude, okay? And then you become a conduit, and God says, I bless. He loves you, and he blesses the cheerful giver. Woo! We're going to clean closets this week. Amen. Some of you need to clean garages this week. Hallelujah. Okay. So, why does God love a cheerful giver? Why? I mean, we know that God loves everybody, but why does God love a cheerful giver? Let me give you four reasons, okay? We're going to do these fast. Here we go. I'm going to give them all to you right up in the front. Here we go. Four reasons God loves a cheerful giver. Ready? Because they are like him. God loves a cheerful giver because they are like him. Number two, because they imitate him and the world he created. Number three, because they reflect his whole plan of grace. Number four, they see from his perspective. Okay, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on them, but the first one, God loves a cheerful giver because they are like him. All right, God is what? A cheerful giver. That's all he knows how to do. That's who he is. He's a cheerful giver. Okay, Matthew 7:11 says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give you things that you ask? So God is, he does the more, okay? God is a cheerful giver, all righty? Now, here's the thing. God likes people around him who are like him. Pastor D. No. Think on this, right? How many of you like to hang around people that are like you? All right, don't raise your hand. Okay, because listen to this. But we do. We like to hang, like, if you're going to a meeting, you're going to a barbecue, you get there, and I don't know about you, but I'm looking around for people that are kind of like me. All right, so I can hang out with them and talk to them. And back in the day, if I was a young mother and I saw another mother with toddlers, I wanted to go talk to her because we kind of are like each other, all righty? All right, and so we like to be around people that are like us because it makes us feel comfortable, right? It does. It makes me feel comfortable. And maybe we have shared the same history, okay? But it's nice that we kind of click. Now listen to this. That's how God feels. God likes to be around people that are like him, that are cheerful givers, generous people. How about when they're giving, all right? Now, let's suppose you're, Stephen, Orioles fan. But Stephen wants to hang out with these other fans because that's what they're going to talk about, right? How about you bargain shoppers? Don't you want to find another bargain shopper so you can swap stories? Because you kind of click, all right? Whatever it is, listen, that you want to find people that are into what you are. And that's what God is. God loves a cheerful giver, and he likes those that think like him and act like him. They're cheerful, and they're giving, and they're generous. Praise God. Before I go on to number two, I read this a couple years ago. This is called The Balloon Story. Anybody hear that before? All right, here it goes. A wise teacher once brought balloons into school, told her students to blow them up and write their name on one. With kids, you say that with your finger up so they remember. One. Write your name on one balloon that's blown up. After the children tossed their balloons into the hall, the teacher moved through the hall, mixing them all up, and their kids were given 5 minutes to find their balloon with their name on it. Though they searched frantically, no one was able to find their balloon. All right. Then the teacher told them, take the first balloon that's closest to you and give it to the person whose name is written on it. In less than 2 minutes, everybody had their own balloon. All right. And the teacher, I love teachers, they tie a bow on this. She said to the children, these balloons are like happiness. They won't, we won't find it when we're searching for our own. But if we care about someone else's happiness, we will ultimately help us find our own. I just thought that was a good story because it's that cheerful spirit. It's that giving spirit. I mean, it's like, I can't find my balloon. I'm going to sit over here and pout. No, they all dug in and found everybody got their balloon, okay? And that's God's kingdom. It's just set up like that. All right, number two, here we go. The reason why God loves cheerful givers, number two, because they imitate him and the world he created. They imitate him and the world he created. Listen, God has a natural order to everything that he created on the earth, okay? Let me give you some examples. The sun in the sky. The sun in the sky continually gives you heat, warmth, light, right? And it just gives. All right, it never takes back. If the sun gives continually and generously, right? Then we got the moon. The moon reflects the sun. The moon reflects the sun, and it gives that reflection continually. How about joyfully? All righty. Trees. What do trees do? Well, the Bible says the trees of the field will clap their hands. They're kind of joyful. All right, trees are joyful. They continually give. Is it oxygen or carbon dioxide? It's got to be oxygen because you'd be dead. Right. They continually give oxygen, right? All right. They continually give oxygen. They're always giving plus other things, right? Trees are giving cheerfully, all right? Have you ever met a tree that was mad? I am tired of giving you guys oxygen. Just go get your own. No. This is part of God's cheerful creation, all right? You're all laughing at me. What else? The sea, the oceans, the sea waters evaporates, then it becomes condensation into the clouds, and then the clouds give rain, so they are continually giving, right? Think about every function of God's creation is giving, right? And God, this is our main idea in case you didn't figure it out, loves a cheerful giver because we are imitating him. Amen. Cheerful, right? Apples. All right. I love apples. Next to watermelons, my top two. Ready? My top two. Apple trees imitate their generous nature of God. Listen to this. One apple tree gives about 250 apples, depending on what variety. That's kind of like the average. One apple tree gives 250 apples. How about that? And one apple has 5 seeds. All right, so 250 times 5 seeds equals 1,200 seeds on one tree. You get the abundance, all right? And then you just multiply the seeds and trees, and it's just like 3,000. It's just bananas, okay? Now, God is generous. His creation is generous. And that's the way we are. So think about this. How many of you ever picked apples at an orchard? You should do that. Lots of fun. Lots of fun. And did you ever do this? Oh, my gosh. You see all the apples laying on the ground? What a waste. Nobody got to make apple cider or apple pie or apple dumpling. What a waste. And God says, abundance. That's the way God looks at it, all right? He's not freaking out going, oh, my gosh, we got wasted apples. Oh, my goodness, they're rotting. We can't make apple cider. No, this is God. He says abundance, and he likes people who think like that and give like that because they don't have this scarcity, lack mentality, all right? They know there's more. Praise the Lord. All right. Number three, and then three and four. Number three, God loves a cheerful giver because they reflect his whole plan of grace. God loves a cheerful giver because you reflect his whole plan. God's plan, his whole plan was generosity and cheery grace for every one of us, all right? Right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever should believe in him would not perish. So he gets that part. But think about this. The Bible says Jesus' whole mission to leave heaven and come to this earth was to do what? To give his life. For us, right? And the Bible also says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The Bible also says that God anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. So Jesus joyfully gave. He joyfully gave. He's a person that gives. He gives his life. So God loves a cheerful giver because you are a reflection of his whole plan of redemption and grace. Amen. Last one. God loves a cheerful giver because they see from his perspective. They see from his perspective. They are not temporal. They're not into the me, I, now, okay? They are actually faith-filled, and they see the way eternity's perspective, all right? And yeah, you may live 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but that's just a little blip on the radar compared to eternity, right? And so God loves a cheerful giver because they invest their temporal in an eternity. Every time you give, especially when I think about Jamaica and having been with Bob and Mary for, I think, 30 years, I better find out, we have watched the finances that we sow every month, we sow into their ministry, plus this, that just sowing and changing lives for eternity. And I remember Bob calling me up. One of his boys who was raised with them went to trade school, then met a Christian girl and was getting married. And Bob went to the wedding, obviously. I think he might have even done the wedding. And the young man said, I am the first male in generations to be married. That was some good seed sowing, right? Okay. All right, I want to read one more thing, and then we're going to close in prayer. This pastor of a mega church was visiting another church in Africa. I thought this was so cool, all right? And he said, I will never forget a church I attended outside of Nigeria. It was the first time I was attending that church. The entire place looked very beautiful. All the members were shining as they came into church. Okay, they didn't even have coffee. And with the way everybody was looking so radiant, I concluded God must have really prospered all these people. Then I observed something. When the pastor got up and said, it's offering time, everybody jumped up and began to rejoice. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that is the secret. They are cheerful givers. Amen. So I'd like to pray for everybody right now, if you just close your eyes. Father, we're so glad that you are a giver, and you gave us everything. You gave us your son, and we are over the moon that you are a cheerful giver. And we thank you, Father, that we are made in your image, and this day we say we are cheerful givers. We open our hearts and we say we are cheerful givers. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings of being a cheerful giver. And we thank you that we get to bless others with the blessings that you have given us. Thank you, Father. And Holy Spirit, you know, you just speak to hearts better than I do. If this has just been an area where you have been stingy, this scarcity mentality, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're bringing light to people's hearts, that they would see who you are and who we are called to be hilarious givers because of all that you have done. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. And I have just one more thing. God was so generous to us that he would give his son. And Jesus was so joyful that he would die on a cross for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world, so that they would not perish, be forever separated from God who loves. God who loves. And the Lord Jesus hung on that cross, which was a big deal. But that big deal he made so simple for us. He said, I have already done this. Would you receive this? I have already died for you. Would you receive my generous gift? So that you can be in my Father's family, that you can have this abundant life, that you can live for eternity with me. So God, who is so generous, and Jesus, who was so joyful, died for us. So I want to ask, if you're here today and you have never received this generous gift that cost you nothing except for to lay your life down, if you would like to receive Jesus, I would like to pray for you. And just pray this prayer from your heart. And the Bible says whoever calls on the name of Jesus would enter into the family of God. He would save. He would wash your sins away. He'd bring you and make you brand new and bring you into his family. So how about, I know many of you have prayed this prayer. How about we all pray it out loud? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead for me. And Jesus, I accept your gift with joy and thanksgiving. And I am now a child of God. Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. And my life is forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, joyful, joyful, joyful. Amen. Cheerful, cheerful, cheerful. Why don't you stand up? Love you guys. Pastor Sherry and I love you. God loves you, but we love you too. Hey, have a wonderful week. Men's prayer is Saturday morning. I'm not invited, and I am secure. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. There's coffee in the back. Also, if anybody would like to adopt a front door garden and weed it, be generous. Be blessed. Amen. Have a wonderful week.